From up in the nosebleeds to down to the 50-yard line, wherever you watch the game, this is the place to sound off. Sports Talk with Jock on 770 CHQR.
Fans don't rule the airwaves tonight. Fun rules the airwaves tonight because it is Friday night. Friday fun time with the people's sportscaster, the one and only Derek Bidwill from Global Saskatoon. Mr. Bidwill, did you have a good week? Did you do anything exciting this week?
I'd like to tell you some, outlandish, great, amazing story.
Yes. Nothing.
But I got nothing. You know what? On a very small level, though, it's just nice. Today, there was the first sports press conference in a long time in Saskatoon.
Is that the Saskatoon Rattlers? Let me guess.
No. The Saskatchewan Rattlers.
Oh, okay.
That's who you're referring to. But, yeah, they go with the provincial name. But, okay. They're out east, and they're getting ready to do their tournament for the championship out
next
east.
Next week.
In St. Catharines, yeah. So, it wasn't about them, though. It was it had to do with the University of Saskatchewan and their main field, which is Griffith Stadium.
Okay.
And they just announced today, just kind of had the press conference to talk about.
So how did they do the press conference? How did they do the press conference? Like, did you have to social distance? It's a different world for press conferences out there right now. Did you have to wear a face mask?
Absolutely. So everybody at the university wore a face mask. Anybody else could. Some people did, actually, that weren't with the university. I didn't. Our camera person didn't. But we stayed far apart. We're very good at the physical distancing. Like, when we interview somebody after, something like this now, or one-on-one interview.
Do you use a hockey stick?
No more...
Hockey stick, to hold the mic?
No. The mic stand.
Oh, okay. The mic stand. That's...
We set up the whole mic stand. We don't even get near him. We don't extend anything to him. Nothing. So it's just like the same mic stand kind of that you would have if you were the lead singer of some
step up to the
band,
stand.
Right on
I like
stage.
That. I like that. Okay. Yeah. So you had a news conference today, which is good. And you know what? That's where I wanted to go tonight because, hockey is almost back. And pretty soon, August the 1st, we're actually going to be, cheering on our favorite team. So I'm curious. As a youngster growing up, you're a Saskatoon boy. So I grew up in Pouce Coupe, British Columbia, as everybody knows. And the very first Peewee Pup team I played for was called the Rangers. And so I became a Ranger fan. And I tell you what, I cheered those New York blue shirts like until the cows came home. And then they just disappointed me year after year after year. And then this upstart team called the New York Islanders came onto the scene. And I figured, hey, they're in New York. I had no idea they were on the island, but I was young and dumb back in the day. So I jumped ships. I got off the Rangers bandwagon and I jumped on the Islanders bandwagon. And that was a smart move, a very veteran move by myself, because that was 1975 and just when the Islanders were starting to get hot. And then, of course, they won the Stanley Cups 4 in a row. And I was feeling pretty damn proud as a fan. So I'm curious, as a young boy in Saskatoon growing up, who did Bidzy cheer for in the NHL?
Well, first of all, you wasn't that big of a veteran move back then by you, because you would have been, you wouldn't have been that much of a veteran anyway. You just would have been a little rosy-cheeked little redhead fella
running
around
British Columbia. It was a veteran move, my friend.
Okay, veteran move by a youngster, let's say that. you know what? Just quickly on the New York Islanders, still the colors, the blue and the orange and the white and the logo, still one of my favorite jerseys.
Okay, I like
in
it too.
In any sport, any sport, really like it. Love the blue and the orange and the white. So when I was younger, I was started off playing just novice, and that was just with the school team, just like your elementary school team. And that was the St. Paul's Leafs. I went to Catholic school, and it was the St. Paul's Leafs. But
did you become a Leafs fan because of that?
No, because here's the deal, is that they were the St. Paul's Leafs, but their colors were just red and white.
Oh.
So I love the colors, which was Detroit. But then the name is the Leafs, which, of course, is Toronto, and two original six teams. So no wonder I'm so confused. They started me off being confused, giving me Detroit's colors with Toronto's name. So, no, I really wasn't. The second team I played for, they got it right, though. The second team I played for, which was my next age group, which I think would have been, I want to say Weepy or something like that.
Weepy?
Yep.
Never heard of it.
Weepy, then Pee-wee, then Adam, then Bantam, then Midget, I think is how our scale went, I think, here. Anyway, so the next team was the Flyers, but they had it right, so they had the exact replica jersey of the Flyers. So it became a bit of a Flyers fan. That was just for a short while.
Okay.
Then, I'll just wrap this up here, and then it all went with me.
You jumped all over the place.
Yeah. It just went with me, though, after that to Wendell Clark, because then I started watching Wendell Clark at the Blades game.
Good Saskatchewan
boy. My dad
got
a little bit older, and my dad didn't want to take me when I was younger, because we all know hockey back then was, fairly reminiscent of Slapshot sometimes. Like, it was just a gong show sometimes, junior hockey. And so, especially when the Blades played the Pats or something like that. Anyway, when I got older, my dad started taking me to the Blades games at the arena in Saskatoon, and Wendell Clark was the man. This was the Cooper All era, and just anything Wendell Clark was just the man. Such a great hockey player and so tough. And I mean, the guy had a handlebar mustache. He was like 17 and was whooping butt and scoring goals and just had a howitzer of a shot. And anything to do with Wendell Clark. So basically, after Wendell Clark left the Blades, I just cheered for whatever team Wendell Clark played for.
Well, fair enough. Did you remember the very first NHL game you went to? Did you go to one as a kid? Because I wasn't a kid. I was probably, I'm guessing about 18 or 19, and it was a game in Vancouver. And I don't remember the exact year, but I do remember the game because the Canucks were playing the New York Rangers. And it was funny because Phil Esposito was at the tail end of his career, and he was a member of the New York Rangers.
I thought you were going to say Gordie Howe.
No. So Phil Esposito had this breakaway, and I can't even remember who the Canucks goaltender was, but the goaltender made the save. And what I remember most about this was the organist at the stadium at the time played "The Old Gray Mare Just Ain't What She Used to Be," and I thought that was priceless. That was good.
Wow. I don't know what is more remarkable to me in this story. The fact that you remember it so vividly, which I guess you would back then.
Your very first NHL game, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, even now, because that was so long ago for you, Jocky baby.
I know. I'm old.
That, you remember it vividly. No, but the other one is Old Gray. You remember that song? I didn't know what that song. I didn't know all I remember whenever the organist would play, and this is still, of course, I can say that I was with it was just da 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 da. Like, I don't know. I don't remember any songs or knew the name of any song. So the fact that you knew it was "Old Gray Mare" and what it used to be, that's pretty.
You're impressed.
Pretty good.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't go to an NHL game though until I was I was in my 20s. Yeah, okay. No, I never went as a kid. Never went as a kid because in Saskatchewan, it was just such a long trip. Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg back then with the Jets. But I mean, I was playing hockey when they were playing hockey, right? So my dad couldn't take me out of hockey to go, do a road trip to Calgary or Edmonton. There was a chance, I think, a couple of times that we were playing a tournament in Calgary or Edmonton, but it just didn't work out that we could go to a game, whether we were playing or whether tickets weren't available or whether we had to be in bed early because we had an early game the next day or something like that. It just never worked out. So it wasn't until later in life.
Okay.
It was a Flames game, was my first game. And, it never made me an instant Calgary Flames fan. It just took a while, I think, and then I became one. And that was just because getting to know the guys, right? That, you just have more invested when you get to know these guys and then you see them succeed. So I guess it was after I started interviewing them a bit more and being a part of the Calgary media, then became a real Flames fan.
Sure, fair enough. Yeah. Hey, we've lined up an outstanding guest tonight, a future Canadian Football Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Of course, yesterday we saw all of these former Stampeders, and I guess you could say former Riders too, get inducted to get the call to the Hall, which is fantastic. So you're ready to introduce our guest?
Yeah, we're bringing him on right now.
No, I'm going to give you take a breath And we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll introduce, you know, a future Canadian Football Hall of Famer. He's going to be our
guest. Stretch.
Yeah. Okay, good. So our special guest coming up next. He's Derek Bidwell. I'm Jock Wilson. This is Friday Fun Time on Sports Talk with Jock. So we were just talking about our very first NHL games we went to as fans, and I just got this text, and this texter says, first NHL game, Oilers versus Canucks, 1982, 10-8 Oilers. Gretzky, Messier, yeah, go, you know, those were the days when they scored a lot of goals, Derek Bidwell. Holy cow. Okay.
The goalies had a little bit different style. The pads were like shin pads.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just getting pumped with a ton of goals. Yeah, and yeah, that's the day when scores like that were definitely not that uncommon, for sure.
And that was the days when goaltenders actually felt the puck and got hurt by the puck and were at times scared of the puck. And that just doesn't happen anymore because these guys are all wearing a body armor without a doubt. Hey, you got to introduce our special guest tonight, Bidzy. So the floor, the platform is yours.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's guest played 15 years in the Canadian Football League. He is a two-time Grey Cup champion. He started off his career as the CFL's Rookie of the Year. Not bad for a Division II walk-on. He is the CFL's all-time leader in receptions, but he is also known for blowing up DBs and a linebacker or 10 of them with the old crack back block from Mineral Wells, Texas. One of the best Stampeder receivers of all time.
Future Hall of Famer.
Friend of the show, Nick Lewis.
Nick Lewis in the house. How are
What's
you, my
up,
friend?
Brother?
How
that,
are you?
You know what? That was an awesome. Doing my podcast now, I try to give people great introductions, but that was awesome. Thank you, Biddy.
Awesome. You're welcome, pal.
And me and I don't know if you know, Jock, but me and Biswell go back quite a ways.
Oh, I know.
And, yeah. So that's awesome. I appreciate the introduction. Jock, it's nice to hear you again. How you doing, brother?
Always good to talk to you, my friend, as well. Hey, were you playing golf with Devon Claybrooks today?
Yeah. So I was out trying to you know, Devon's trying to pick up the game, and I was helping him pick up the game, and we had a fun time out on the course, and to be out there and to do that, because I think the golf place is the golf course is the new meeting place to get deals done, and if you can be a functional golfer, you can go out and work business.
Is Claybrooks a functional golfer, though?
Not yet, but he is. By the end of the round, he was hitting the ball really well.
Okay. I'm sure once he hits
I saw 84 today.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Can't go for that.
My best round of the year.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, before I broke my leg, Jock, I was shooting high 70s, low 80s, and I'm trying to get back there, but.
What did Claybrook shoot?
Half the time he didn't shoot. He was, you know, that was one of the things was picking it up and understanding the game. And once he started to hit better shots, he was more intrigued on wanting to play more.
More players should do that.
He's never played really before.
Yeah, more players should do that. You know, if you're having a bad hole, hey, you're not in the PGA Tour. Just pick it up and go to the next hole. I'm okay with that. I tell that to my wife all the time. Hey, don't worry about it. Don't stress. Don't freak out.
That's it. And when I started with Jermaine Copeland and Brett Rout. I mean, they're both scratch golfers. So I'm aiming left to hit it straight, and they're scratch golfers. So I had a lot more pressure because of the company. Where I didn't actually start playing until 2008.
Okay.
And these people have been playing a long time. And so they were out there shooting low scores. I was on my earpiece. I was talking on the phone while playing, and they were like, you just don't get it. But then, you know, once you start playing and you get it and you know the focus it takes for every shot, so now it's a different sport and different game for me.
Before I bring Bidzy in here, have you ever played with Bidzy, Nick?
No.
You're in for a treat if you play with Bidzy. Bidzy's got the wildest swing. He doesn't hold anything back. Like you think Bryson DeChambeau swings hard? Bidzy probably will ramp that up about two or three times. He comes out of his socks.
Me, I play better when my hands hurt or I sneezed a month ago and popped two ribs out. So it's like I play better now because I don't try to overpower the ball and I just let it go. So it was good. I got a 300-yard drive today, so it was good.
Okay.
I still got to learn that, Nick. I still try to come with the thunder just off the tee. The rest of my swings are fairly under control, but I really like to grip it and rip it off the tee. But the other thing, too, is that Jocko and some other pals like Heath Brown that I used to work with at CTV and some other guys, too, like Kevin Smith. I used to work at Global in Calgary. Like some of these guys, my colleagues, media colleagues, they just loved me swinging so hard. And so then, like, I feel like I'm letting people down now if I try to just turn it back. But I am a little worried, though, that one of these times I'm going to I'm going to injure myself as I get a little bit older. I'm going to have to start stretching more. I was going to start off with just one more quick one with Devon Claybrooks. Biscuit, as he's known.
He was going to be on our show. He stiffed us, by the way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a second. But when he was going to be on the show, one of my buddies who listens all the time, Sean Cable with the Roughnecks, listens to every show since Jock and I have been doing this. Anyway, when I told him Devon Claybrooks was going to come on, and he said, the CFL coach that wears his hat funny, right? And I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Does he wear his hat like that when he's on the golf course too?
So have you heard the story about Devon and his hat?
Which one?
No.
So Devon's head is so big that hats never fit his head. So he always had to wear them sideways. Because it wouldn't fit his head. So he has to get hats. They have to get special made hats. Right?
I feel bad for his mom with that big head.
He's always wore it that way because of that.
That's a big head. That's a big head.
Yeah, I thought it was a stylish thing. And actually, I thought it looked pretty cool, actually, to be honest. I thought it was just a style thing, so I was going to
Now it is a stylish thing because there is hats that he can get that are like that, but that's how it started, right? It started because hats wouldn't fit his head, and if he wore it straight and it wouldn't fit your head, then people would laugh at you. But you kind of turn it to the side and let it hang up there, like people don't laugh at you, right? So there's a lot behind the story. I'll let him tell the story because he knows it a lot better than I do, obviously. But, you know, that's a part of the reason why he actually started wearing his hat like that.
Bidzy, I thought you were going to follow up.
Oh, no, sorry. I didn't want to cut you off. I thought you were following up with that one. So, Nick, let's start off with what you're doing right now. And I had a chance to listen to an episode of it earlier tonight. Let's talk about quickly before we get into some great stories from your times at Stampeder, on the field, off the field, talking about some of those crackback and legendary blocks that you're known for, and of course your all-time leader in the Canadian Football League for receptions. We'll get a little bit more into the football stuff, but let's talk a little bit about what you're doing right now off the top. Your podcast, I had a chance to listen to an episode of it tonight prior to this with Burke Dales, former Stampeder Burke Dales, and his sister, who actually works for the NFL Network, and that was really interesting. Yeah. Maybe just a bit more on your podcast, to follow you on Facebook, and it's going really well, it seems. You got some great guests every week.
Yeah, so the podcast comes about, because I love it, because it's all about information, right? Our life is like Division II walk-on, small town Texas, to the CFL. But even through the course of my career, do people actually know who I am, right? So you have all these players with great stories. Alex Singleton getting cut 7 times by the Eagles in 1 year. You have all these great stories that people don't even know. They just think you show up and you've had this life that was easy, or that you just showed up one day and you just became a star. And it's totally different, right? People have gone through so much. Charleston Hughes, talks about faking like he's an agent and calling King and acting like he's handing himself the phone and changing his voice to be able to get a look. Chauncey Hughes is 28 sacks from all-time leading sack leader in CFL history. And he's acting like his own agent just to get an opportunity to play football. Right? So we have all these great stories that people don't hear and they don't understand. And you, and Delvin Bro, I mean, he broke his neck and they thought he wouldn't walk again to come back and do what he did. He was running track 4 months later. And now look what he's put in. So when you have these great stories and you have, it's about, if you're a fan of football, if you're a fan of sports, and if you're just a fan and you want to be successful in life, people don't get there the easy route. You have to go through things to get to where you want to get to. Me being a Division II walk-on, earning a scholarship, you know, getting to Calgary as the last person signed to the roster. I was the last person signed to the Calgary roster in 2004.
Crazy. Right?
So these are stories that really tie things together. Damon Allen just talked about when I released yesterday. He got signed by the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1993, 8 years into his CFL career. He played 23 years, but in 8 years in, he got signed by the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he went to training camp with them.
That's a great story. Great story.
Right. So we have all these stories, and like they need to be told, because I think that right now, one, when you have suicide rates up, you have people that feel like they're hopeless and helpless and all these other things. Like, you need to hear what people actually went through, and when they made it through, what the breakthrough was and how it made it work.
Nicky, I got to cut you. I'm just going to leave it there for a second. We're going to come back and continue this conversation. You do have to break for the news here at the bottom of the hour. He is Nick Lewis, Nick at Night Lewis, special guest here with Derek Bidwell and myself on Sports Talk with Jock. And so much to get into with Nick Lewis. He's not going anywhere. He'll stay with us for at least another 15 minutes. You go nowhere. We got news at the bottom of the hour, then more with Nick Lewis. By the way, his podcast is called Lulu Logic. You can find it where all the great podcasts are right now. And you can go online and Google Nick, and you'll see it there as well. This is Friday Fun Time. This is Sports Talk with Jock.
It's partly cloudy and 22 degrees in downtown Calgary. Good evening from Global News. It's 7:30. I'm Haley Jarmain. Canada's deputy public health officer is out with a warning. Dr. Howard New says singing and dancing in close quarters is not the way to party this summer. He's telling young people to stop jamming bars and dance floors to stop the spread of COVID-19. He says a recent increase in cases can be largely traced back to young people ignoring physical distancing guidelines. This says Alberta reports another jump of more than 100 new COVID-19 cases in one day. The province says there are 105 new infections and two more people have died from the illness. Partly cloudy tonight. To chance we see a thunderstorm roll through, as the city is still under a severe thunderstorm watch. Otherwise, a low of 10 overnight. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 22. 24 with a mix of sun and cloud for Sunday. It is 22 degrees right now. Breaking news when it happens. Our next scheduled news at 8 o'clock. I'm Haley Jarmain.
Little Friday fun time with the People's Sportscaster, Derek Bidwell from Global Saskatoon, and our special guest tonight, future Canadian Football Hall of Famer, Nick at Night Lewis. And Nick was just telling us about his podcast, the Lulu Logic podcast, and Garrett just texted in and said, Jock, can you spell that for me, please? And Lulu is L-E-W, Logic is L-O-G-I-C. So that's the Lulu Logic podcast. You can find it on all the great platforms. What is the story behind Lulu? Just a play on your name, Nick?
Yeah, so it's kind of like my dad always calls me crazy, and I will say something and my dad's like, that must be Lulu Logic. Like, that's my logic in my world. So that's where I kind of got it from, was the logic of Lulu.
Logic of Lulu.
You know, I've always come up with a lot of different nicknames and things like that. So This is just the logic of Lulu. Well, right? So L-E-W-L-E-W-L-O-G-S-C. And all one word, so it's a great logic for me.
You see, we did a show on nicknames earlier, and Bidzy was Stinky, because that's what his dad called him, and mine was Jockey Baby. So there you go. Now we've shared nicknames.
Let's not bring that back up. Let's just talk about Nick's. Let's talk about Nick's nicknames. Let's not talk about any more about Stinky and Jockey Baby. Okay. What other ones you got, Nick?
What other nicknames?
Yes.
Oh, man. The ones I gave myself or the ones other people gave me?
Well.
Because Rambo used to always call me Lou or Lulu, or Ram would call me Chunk. And there's a couple, you know, there's a couple. And then I gave myself a couple nicknames through my days. Geronimo Jones, I started out. And Simon Sleepwalker and Lewis Man Genius was my coaching kind of thing. And Master Unique, N-I-Q-U-E. So it's a play on words, but it was always fun and was cool.
I remember meeting your dad once, and I think I told the story on the air, so I apologize in advance. But when you got your signing bonus and you bought the grill, and your dad, you know, you said your nickname was crazy. He was not very happy when you bought the grill. Do you still have the grill?
I don't know where the grill is.
You don't know where the grill is.
I should know where it's at. That cost me $1,500.
I know.
So I want to know where the grill is. I would still wear it today, actually.
Would you?
It was top and bottom, yellow and white diamonds, right? So when me and my ex-fiance split up, things just, you know, got misplaced, I guess. Mama Votto watch is gone as well.
Oh.
So.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. By the way, Garrett has another question, and Garrett was asking about if there's any funny stories involving John Huffnagel, who was inducted in the Hall of Fame yesterday. Like Garrett saying, he's such a straight faced personality and doesn't seem to give too much. Do you have any good John Huffnagel stories?
Man, me and Huff have had a lot of great back and forth. You know, it's one person that I tell you this, as a father figure, as a man that I respect tremendously, John Huffnagel has been, I think that's what took me over the top in my career. I don't think I ever get to where I got to without Huff, because it gave me a different sense of the game. And part of it was through my maturity as well, from the early 4 years before Huff got here, the immaturity that I had. But I just think that through what we accomplished together with two Grey Cups and the journeys in there was great. But yeah, me and Huff had some yelling matches. We've had some shouting matches, and but it's all respect. It's just great. I think that one of the biggest things, I remember you talk about stories. One day I run an out route in practice, and I probably didn't run it like I needed to. And he goes, yeah, I'm taking that play out of the playbook. And I go, no, Huff, you're not taking that play out of the playbook. He goes, yeah, I'm taking it out. You're not going to have that. I said, no, you're not taking that play. So we back and forth on the field. And one thing about Huff that every player knows is that what happens on the field, and he's very hard on players, but he's very fair. He wants the best out of the players. But at the end of every practice, if he ever got into it with a player, or if he ever said something to a player that might be misconstrued, he would apologize in front of the team when he broke the team down at the end of the practice.
Really?
Yeah. He was always a guy that he would push you to your limits to get the best out of you. But when practice was over and he'd break down the team, he would either apologize, or he would make, if two guys got in a fight at practice, he'd make them shake hands and apologize to each other. It was always like, okay, this happened. Now this, we need to close this to move on to tomorrow or whatever. So that was huge. That was huge as a man and as a coach and as someone that I respect tremendously. I don't know. I really don't know, Jock, how well I could have done without Huff in my career.
That's a great
story.
And
I don't know how well I could have helped other players without Huff.
I tell you what, that's some great insight. Bidzy, your go.
Okay, we're going to switch gears a little bit here, and this is from the aforementioned Burke Dales. We talked to Burke on our show, a very entertaining guy, of course, with his time, trying out with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We all know him well personally, entertaining guy. All that was on your podcast, as we mentioned, with his sister just a little while ago. I said, you got any beauties that I can ask Nick? Earlier today, I was asking a few of your former teammates for some stuff, doing a little research. He said, ask Nick about smashing up his Jaguar.
Okay, so I didn't smash up my Jaguar. And because my Jaguar wouldn't start. And this 2010, after the Western Final, my Jaguar wouldn't start, so I had a rental car. And I don't know if I can tell this story on air. But so coming into the meetings the morning after, it is, you know, the big blizzard of 2010. As I get to the hill, I'm in a rental car, and I'm keep pumping the brakes, and it wouldn't stop. And I end up smashing into Corey Mason's, the back end of Corey Mason's car, and hit the side of Drew Tate's car.
Oh, no.
And I always get to the meetings like 2 minutes before. Like, it's a very close call. And so end up jumping. Rambo jumps out. Like, Rambo's, like, screaming, hit the brakes! And I'm hitting the brakes, but it didn't work. It was anti-brake lock or something. I don't know. But it didn't work. And we slid down the hill, hit the two cars. I jump out the passenger side after Rambo gets out. And we go into the meetings. And then I end up paying for Corey Mason's car. Drew Tate was like, well, I'm selling the car anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, yeah, that happened. But it wasn't a Jaguar.
It wasn't a Jag.
The Jag wouldn't start for 2 weeks, so that's why I had the rental car in the first place. But if I did have the Jag, it would have been the Jag.
That's good. You know, I remember when Jermaine Copeland first came to Calgary, and you were like a mini Cope, because, you know, Cope was the best dressed guy on the team, and, you know, he used to wear the white suits and everything else. You talk about Huff. Like, why was Cope so instrumental for you, Nick? Because I do remember you were like a mini Cope.
Well, my rookie year, hanging out with Wayne McGarity, we went to Montreal. We played Montreal. He played in college with Kwame Cavill. So I hung out with Cope and Kwame and Wayne and everybody. So then I got to know Cope a little bit. And something instrumental happened in 2005 once they got there. Hank, Marte Jenkins, Cope, Rambo, you know, Josh, first training camp, all this stuff happened. They released Alessio Fanford in training camp, which was my roommate my rookie year, for James Terry. Nate Terry's brother. And I was like, this is not right, because Salacio was better than him. And I thought, this is not right for you to release this guy, which was my roommate. And I remember I told Steve Verrato, like, you know what? I'm not going to the meetings or whatever. And Cope sent me down and said, look, he's like, part of the reason I came here is because of you. And we're going to do some great things together. And you don't want to be a great player that bounces around from team to team. You want to be in one place. And that's how our relationship bonded and built from there. And we were Batman and Robin. I was okay with being second to Cope, because he was a great player. He came off an 1,800-yard season a couple years before. He's been a great player. Peyton Manning called him on the morning of the Grey Cup. And I'm just sitting there like, and he acts like it's nothing. I'm like, Peyton Manning just called you? He goes, yeah, that's Peyton. He just calls. Like,
that's cool.
You know, good luck and everything. But, like, this is a very, like, everybody thought that Hank and other people were like, Cope was the true leader of our team. He kept everything together. And I honestly believe in 2010, if we had Cope, we'd have won that game in the Western Final. Cope was so instrumental in the growth of a lot of players. Not just myself, not just Kenyon Rambo, not just it's defense, it's offense. He was a true leader in the man that he was week in, week out, day in, day out. And that moment that we had in 2005, I was I was like, you know what? This is what it is. And, yeah, Cope has been true inspiration to me and still is. You know, my career is not what it was without Cope. I learned so much from him on a day-in, day-out basis, from even how to practice, how to take care of yourself, how to manage the business part of football, where, you know, fans don't ever really see the business part. Yeah. They only see the on-the-field stuff. Like, Cope was the true inspiration of how I will say
this, Nick. You know, it was we were ahead of our time when we had the Coping with Nick show here. I think Mark Stevens sort of shook his head. He didn't quite understand. I thought it was brilliant radio. And I tell you what, we were so far ahead of our time back in the day, and that was fun. But anyway, that's just a personal note. Anyway, we don't have a lot of time left. So Bidzy, I know you probably have another question.
I do. I got one more for Nick before we let him go. First of all, I want to say Coping with Nick. That is an awesome name of a segment of a show, for sure. That you guys were ahead of your time. That's a good one. Last one I got for you, Nick, here. I heard from a little birdie that, you know, Michael Irvin, I think I heard this before, besides from the little birdie, that Michael Irvin from the Dallas Cowboys, of course, famous receiver with the Dallas Cowboys, was your favorite player. And, in fact, you got a chance to talk to him, and he was a little bit of a mentor to you, you know, provided some encouragement for you or wise words or words of wisdom that you could follow. But I also heard that you're going to be kind of reuniting with him soon. You're going to be, is this right? You're going to be playing in a softball tournament with Michael Irvin, now with now an NFL analyst?
Well, so it just got canceled, which I hate, but I'm in there for next year. And Michael Irvin was on my team. LaDainian Tomlinson was on the team. It was a charity for veterans of the military. Toby Keith, Matthew McConaughey, Roger Clemens. And there was a lot of Spud Webb, a lot of great athletes. And I was going to get the opportunity to represent Canada as the only player from the CFL or ex-CFL in this game. I was going to be able to represent Canada. So that was special for me. Mike Irvin is my greatest athlete of all time. And this is one of the things that I always get. People always talk about role models, right? And we all know about Mike Irvin off the field in the 90s. But I was able to take just what he did on the field. And this is why I was so physical. You talk about the crackback. You talk about a ability to go out and beat up a DB, and then the ability to go out and beat him in man-to-man and do what I need to do catching the ball. This is Mike Irvin's game. The Philadelphia Eagles drafted Bobby Taylor, a 6'2 or 6'3 cornerback, to try to deal with Mike Irvin because he beat up their DBs the whole game. But then when the ball came his way, he made plays. He's the original playmaker, and that's how I model my game. And that's how ultimately I became who I was, because of Mike Irvin. But yeah.
Wow. Nick, you know, we could have done the whole show with you. What it tells me is we got to bring you back on another segment a little later on. So thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate you sharing the stories with us. And good luck with that Lulu Logic podcast. I know you've dropped a number of episodes, and I know it's really taking off. So thanks again, man.
Yeah, 41 episodes out. Just started doing on the video side of things, and Fred Stentz is on Monday.
Okay.
Just dropped it here first.
There you go. Nick, you have a great night. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Thank you. You as well.
All right.
Thanks, Nick. Talk soon, pal.
Yes, that's Derek Bidwell. This is Sports Talk with Jock. We got to wrap things up, Bidzy. The Friday shout-outs are up next. Go nowhere. Keep it locked right here on Global News Radio, 770 CHQR. Friday fun time, wrapping things up on a Friday night. Derek Bidwell, the People's Sportscaster from Global Saskatoon. And Nick, I would say Nick at night hit it out of the park. That was a pretty solid guest.
Oh, yeah. We knew that, though. Yeah. We knew that. He was talking about some of the nicknames he gave himself. And, I mean, Nick's been a personality. you know, Lulu Logic has been around for a long time before he even landed himself in Calgary. He's always been a character, great guy. And it just seems like he's... I don't know. As he's getting older, I wouldn't say more mature.
I think he is more mature, and he sort of mentioned that. He said, "Huff, you know." So he had to grow up a little bit.
Well, I guess so. I guess you could put it that way if you like. But I would like to, I think I would put it more like he's a little more well-rounded. I think he's just,
yeah, okay.
I think he's just
okay.
I think he's a little more polished, especially with how he interacts with people. I think a lot of times maybe he was misunderstood, or maybe he, you know, put his foot in his mouth maybe, or he's, you know, tried mm-hmm. to be a little bit too humorous, but it rubbed people the wrong way, certain things. I mean, I'm sure he would say that too. But I just think he's very polished now. And he's actually a really good interview. If you listen to Lulu Logic and those podcasts, he's a really good interview for sure.
I would agree. Friday shoutouts is how we wrap up Friday Fun Time. And I usually kick it off because I got to get our hero of the month a little bit of a shout out here. It's the Popowich Carmeli Advisory Group, CIBC Wood Gundy, great supporters of the Calgary Children's Foundation. And again, the Popowich Carmeli Advisory Group, CIBC Wood Gundy, our hero of the month for July. So there's my shout out, Bidzy. Who are you going with tonight?
Okay, so I got to go. I got to start this off with a quick story, though. Okay, real quick. So this is when I was growing up in elementary school, there was a show called Growing Pains with Kirk Cameron. You remember that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I'm sure a lot of people will. Anyway, it was really popular. Kirk Cameron was a stud. He was on, like, Tiger Beat and all those magazines. Anyway, I wanted to be like Kirk Cameron. So I wanted to have, like, the clothes like him, pop the collar like him. I wanted to be popular with the girls like him. So one thing that Kirk Cameron had on the show, besides, you know, like, these certain clothes or certain shoes, or he popped his collar, is that he had a buddy on the show named Boner. So I needed to have a friend in high school nicknamed Boner. So my friend Riley Dark didn't have a nickname. I told him, I'm sorry, bud, but you're going to have to be Boner. So he's, I don't want to be Boner. So he shortened it down to Bones eventually. So my shout-out goes to Riley Dark, a.k.a. Boner, a.k.a. Bones. It was his birthday today, or like today. It was his birthday. It's his birthday today. And earlier, he lives in Kelowna now. Earlier, he got married, I want to say about a week, 10 days ago, to his lovely bride, Kathy. I want to give a shout-out to her, too, his mother, Ruth, stepfather Gary, and brother Casey, who is a beauty as well and a close friend. So my shout-out goes to Riley Boner Dark.
All right. Nice shout-out to Boner. Bidzy, that's it for tonight. And actually, I got some bad news. We're going to have to put the show on hiatus for a couple of weeks because they're giving me a promotion. I'm actually hosting the drive for Joe McFarlane the next couple of weeks, so I'll be hosting the afternoon show. So there won't be any Friday Fun Time on Sports Talk with Jock, but we'll be back early in August, okay?
Sounds great, pal.
All right. You stay safe. Stay healthy. He's Derek Bidwell. I'm Jock Wilson. Thanks so much for listening. You have a great night. This is 770 CHQR.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.